This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Question: how can God's people live in a godless society? Let's look at 1 Peter. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. So, how do God's people live where all around us we see Satan's hand at work in the world? Do they blend in and assimilate? Do they go along to get along? Now is the time to stand up and speak out. We believe that the people of God are made for this moment, made to be temples and vessels of His Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel of hope, love, grace, and faith. If you're looking for a church home, you're invited to join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 1515 Egger Street, above the high school here in Rock Springs. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, November 21st, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning, and God bless you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Enable us to live each day with faith and hope. May all that is within us bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us take a minute and center our hearts and minds before God in silence. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the propitiation or payment for our sins, the Lamb sacrificed. We come this morning in His name, by His name, and through His name. For He intercedes for us on our behalf, intercedes with you, that the enemy may not dispose us before you, but that we would be seen through the shed blood of Jesus our Christ, our Redeemer. The old song we sang reminds us that we are plunged beneath the cleansing flow of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Father, forgive us our sins, for those things that we do that we should not, for those things that we do not do that we should, for being less than we could be, not as much as we should be, but more than all of that, not listening and heeding you in everything we think, do, and say. For Father, may our hearts and our words agree with the psalmist, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be to glorify you. And Father, as we pray and come before you, we come with many burdens, many cares, many situations. And Father, we sometimes just run out at wit's end, out at the end of the resources, out at the end of the time, out at the end of the patience. We run out to where we feel there is no place else to go. But Father, help us to not only come to you then, but to come to you before then, that that end may not be reached. Father, we would pray today that through love, grace, and mercy, we would come to you sooner, come to you quicker, come to you more often in prayer, that we would humble ourselves and come to you in truth, revealing our heart before you. Father, you already know, but it's our arrogance that won't say it to you, that won't confess it before you, that won't be honest, even in our own prayers, of our need, of our responsibility, of our mistakes. So, Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Forgive us. Give us strength that we would forgive others. Father, hear our prayers of intercession offered on behalf of those who have called upon us as a faith community to remember loved ones, family, and friends. And Father, in our bulletin is a list of names we may not even know the who, we may not know the why, but they've called upon us as a church to pray for them and to remember them in prayer. Father, let us do that. Let us be faithful in this to which we are called, to pray for one another. And Father, we pray for our community and leaders and servants in our community, from our law enforcement to our fire departments to our hospital staffs. Father, to all who serve in some way, just to make our lives better, to make our lives safer, and to give us options when there might would be no other. Father, we pray for churches in our community that they would proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto the Father. Father, may that be true in our own hearts, as it is true in the words that we share. We pray for churches around this nation and around the world that a revival fire be kindled, a turning to truth, and Jesus as the way, giving us life. Father, we pray for missionaries and the Church of Christ around the world, that they would be empowered, emboldened, and protected, that they may share the good news of the gospel, and that hope would be found and truth revealed. Father, we pray this morning for leaders in this country who volunteer their time and around the world, for those who seek to share love, grace, and mercy, for those who seek to live out life in truth, not in arrogance. And Father, we would pray today that the schemes and plans of the wicked ones would be revealed, that they would come unravel and the truth would come out. For Father, it is truth that is needed that we would heal. It is truth that is needed that we could believe. It is truth that is needed that we could have knowledge through which we could decide and make decisions. And we as Christians are not exempt from any of those things. And as a matter of fact, Father, we are taught in your word that truth, that if we confess our sins, you will forgive them. And the prophet calls out, if my people who are called by my name will repent of their sins, I will hear their prayer and heal their land. Father, we pray for nations around the world that truth, and that is Christ, be sought. Father, we pray for those who are nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, those who suffer from many different things. Father, we lift them before you today. We pray that their hearts be touched, that whatever it is that is in their life, that they need you in, that you would be seen there, found there, and acknowledged there. And Father, we do pray that you would hear us now as we join our hearts and voices to pray together, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33-38. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate asked him, What is truth? The word of God for the people of God.
I need to set the stage for what you're reading the Gospel of John, because sometimes as we've read the different Gospels and the different Gospel accounts, we kind of sort of have a tendency to puree them a little bit and to kind of mix them up in the same cup. But we can't do that with this one. It's very important that we do not. John's Gospel is written last. John's Gospel is written in about 90 AD. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three Gospels, are written prior to 60 AD. What's significant is 70 AD, that is the fall of Jerusalem. That is when Rome comes in, destroys the city of Jerusalem, destroys the temple, destroys everything to do with Judaism and its religious organization. They kill all the priests, they kill all the Jewish religious elite and leadership of the church, all of them are killed. There is nothing left of the formal religion of the Jewish culture at all. It's destroyed. They actually crucified so many Jewish people that day that there wasn't wood left to build more crosses with. John writes his gospel after the fall of Jerusalem. John is writing his gospel to the Jews that are dispersed, the Jews that are disbanded, the Jews that are hopeless, the Jews whose whole thing had been lost in the fall of the temple and the death of the religious leaders. John is writing his letter that they would know that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So kind of keep that in mind. The other gospel writers are writing before the temple fell. They've got a different order. They've got a different readership. They've got a different, if you will, author's purpose. So John's unique in this, and that's important as we go into this. However, John is taking 33 AD events and bringing them forward to 90 and writing about them. So in order for us to get a little bit more of this, I want to share with you a little bit more about the climate of the day of Jesus' crucifixion. I did this in Sunday school this morning, so if you were in Sunday school, maybe you can take a nap. I've got a super soaker. Anybody that nods off, it's got ice water in it. We'll nod off and see. But the political climate, and we cannot divorce our Bible or our lives from the political climates. We just can't do that. There is no way to separate the two. In the day of Jesus, Rome had learned to assimilate cultures. They had learned in assimilating those cultures and the many different cultures and races and kinds of people that the best way to do that was to bring them in and let them keep some of their identity. For the Jews, it was to keep their religious cult, their thing going on. And they had learned that these Jewish guys and gals were really kind of stubborn about that. They had learned through a Maccabean revolt in about 90 to 70 BC, that they were ready to fight for it. So they appoint a Jewish king over that area. His name was Herod. It's not the Herod in Jesus' day, but it was the Herod prior to the Herod that was in Jesus' day. Isn't that really confusing? Why don't they change their names so that we don't have to worry if it was Herod Antipas or you know, you have to figure that out. So just go with me. I'm going to go as fast as I can because I know you'll go to sleep through the history lesson. I just know you will, but it's important. I need you to get there with it. So now you've got this uprising. So Rome said, well, we got to give them a cookie. We got to do something. So they let them rebuild the temple. So the first Herod begins to rebuild the temple in about 60 A.D. or B.C., and he builds the temple. By the time Jesus is there, the temple is just finished. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. We talked about that a little bit. Another Herod's king. At that time, Marc Aurelius is the Caesar, is the governor, is the head guy of the Roman Empire. He's the emperor. He sends in Pontus, which is a title, not a name, Pilate, to be the ruler over Judea. And that's the scene that we set up. Now, while Rome let you have your freedoms, they also collected your taxes. They had tax collectors that they had found, Jewish people who were willing to collect taxes on their own Jewish community. But they also said, okay, we're going to give you your religious thing, but those were political appointments as well. And Caiaphas was a political appointment. He was a Jew, but he was agreeing to serve Rome. As a matter of fact, it seems that Caiaphas may have actually had more political clout than did Pilate. So we'll see that in just a minute as we go into this. Now, kind of keeping all of that in mind, Jesus was a threat. Jesus was a threat to the Roman government system, but Jesus is more of a threat to the Jewish religious cult, the Jewish religious leadership, because they were getting fat and sassy off of the obedience of the people. They were making the laws heavy. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? They make the laws burdensome. They make the laws heavy. They wear their good suits. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't eat the leaven of the Sadducees. All the time saying, don't be like those people. They're corrupt. They're dirty. They're elitist. They don't have any idea of what's going on. And that's the political situation that's kind of in Judaism. You've got the political situation in the Roman Empire. They're still stretching their wings. They need more money. They need more gold. They need to support all of their agendas. And here is where we find Jesus. He's finally got under their skin enough. He's finally caused enough trouble. They feel threatened by him, and you'll read the conversations, unto the point now that he's been delivered to Pilate. He's been to Herod. He's been around the block, so to speak, and he's arrived before Pilate. Pilate is the procreate or the Pontus of Judea. Pilate, the only hope that you would have would be a Roman citizen. Then you could appeal your case to Rome, but not a Jew. And Jesus was a Jew. Pilate had absolute authority to take their lives or let them live. We find that trumped up charges have brought Jesus, false charges, before the court of Pilate. We find that Pilate is coming back in to talk with Jesus once again in our text. And he enters the headquarters again. He summons Jesus, hey, bring him over here, and asked him some questions. Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you ask this out of your own, or did others tell you about me? In other words, Pilate, where's this coming from? Are you the Roman procreate? Are you worried about me, or did somebody bring this charge? Pilate's got a choice, doesn't he? Pilate's got a choice. Ball's in his court. And Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Well, that's not an answer, is it? Have you just noticed that he just politicized that answer? He did tell me that that's an answer. Somebody tell me that. I'm not a Jew, am I? So what do you mean? He sidestepped that puppy. He just got right off over there. He just slithered right out of the way of that one, but it's okay. And Jesus, he says, I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, it's not me, and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done? You must have done something. Do you notice that you're assumed guilty, but must be proved innocent? In our nation, we have a great court system. It's got its flaws, but we are supposed to be presumed innocent before we're found guilty. It was the opposite in the Roman courts. You were accused and you had to prove your innocence. I have a hard time being able to prove my innocence if I'm sitting in a Roman jail or tied to a concrete wall somewhere. You know, it's a little hard to get out and work up a crowd or find a witness. You know, it's just that way. Somebody, you better get somebody on your side. Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over. He wanted to know who did it. So what have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Did Pilate ask him anything that had to do with the kingdom? Did he ask him anything that had to do? No, he didn't ask him. Are you a king? Not yet. But Jesus is putting, he knows what's behind this. He knows what the problem is. He knows that Pilate's worried about authority. He knows that Pilate's worried about him being overthrown by this very popular Jewish character out there in Judea that could start another fight, that could start another battle, that could cause more problems. Pilate's afraid of him. And Jesus goes straight at Pilate. And he answers what Pilate really wants to know. And Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. Handed over to the Jews. Ain't that who brought him? Aren't they the ones that shoved him into the courtroom? Jesus knows some stuff about this, don't he? He knows some stuff about how this crooked political environment has brought him to this very moment. He knows the court in which he stands doesn't know truth. He knows that the people who brought him out didn't know truth. But maybe they did know truth and didn't want to accept it. So he continues. And Pilate says, so you are a king. Come on, you're a king, so you're a king. And Jesus answered and said, and I love this answer, it is so good. I've always wanted to use it, but nobody's told me I was a king. Carrie reminds me that I'm not a king. But, but maybe one day in a play or something, he says, you say I am a king. For this I was born. I want you to hear this. For this I was born. For this time, for this place, for this moment. For this for which I stand today, I was born. It is this very reason I stand between the world's authorities and the Jewish people, God's chosen people. I stand in front of you. Literally in front of the world, for this I was born. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everything that Jesus had done and said was to point us to God. Back to that restoration of our relationship with God. And in John 14:6, we find the basis for our Christian faith. And Jesus says to his disciples and those around him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And here it'll be fulfilled that he will become the propitiation for our sins. He'll be the one lifted up on a cross that all the world would be drawn to him and be able to be saved. I testify to the truth. What is truth? What is truth? Is it what we decide it is? How many of you have learned that truth is something you don't have to remember? I mean, honestly, I don't know how that works. I haven't figured it out. I've been involved in psychology and studying the mind for a long time, and I can't figure out how can the truth, it just sticks, don't it? But if a lie is in there, you got to remember it. You got to take it up. You got to remember who you tell. It takes a very smart person to lie. And I'm probably out of the loop, but truth just sticks. If you tell the truth, it sticks. Jesus will say that the truth shall set you free, but he is the truth, remember? He is the truth. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. But what is truth? In our world today, it's loosely used a lot, I have to be honest with you. The truth is what you decided to be today. You decide what truth is, and that's your truth, and you don't have to worry about anybody else's truth, but you got to accept everybody. I'm so confused today. I am not a good chameleon. How many of you are good chameleons? I have trouble figuring out the landscape I'm on. I am a pure redneck. When they talk about pronouns, I'm going to say, what's that? We drew lines out. How many of you learned to diagram sentences by underlining a word and drawing a little line up and writing on it? Do they still teach that? No, they don't even know what that is anymore. So they're the ones confused. I don't know what they're thinking about. My name's Jim, and I'm not a pronoun. Have you noticed that? Sorry, I don't fit the landscape. And the landscape is becoming more slippery every day. Truth and absolutes and things that work and don't work. I read something and I almost, folks, I've raised kids. I'm a professional diaper slinger. I know when that puppy stinks, you got to get it off of there. Because if you don't, that baby's going to tell you all about it in a little while. And if you leave that wet one on there too long, I've learned that there's going to be a rash show up. And I've learned that when you do boys, you got to do one thing. You do a girl, it's okay, it's different. You know, I just learned that. It's just the way it is. But I saw the other day that they are now recommending that you get your child's permission before you change its diaper. How stupid can you get? Now that, if that's, and men can have babies. What about that one? No, it ain't working that way. It just ain't, where is truth today in our society and culture? We've departed from the Word of God. We've decided that God is what we create it to be. And we've decided that truth is what we say it can be. And it can change. How many of you are aware that this word woke is in our culture? Woke. These people need to go back to bed. But AOC said that that ain't a word no more. Have you heard this? You know, Angelo Cortez, whatever her name, I can't get all those things in there. She's probably got a pronoun too, but I don't know what that is. But it just, she told a news commentator on one of the news networks that are over on the other side of the street, said to her that this is a word that old people use. That's not even a current word. But I thought it was truth. But it's gone. I've learned that truth don't go away. And truth don't change just because we want to change it. And it is truth that sets us free. Folks, I've been counseling people for a long time. And the first thing I tell them when they come in my office and we begin to work is I'll always tell you the truth, and I need you to always tell me the truth, because we can't heal on a lie. We can't learn from a lie. We can't stand before God based on a lie. We're all sinners. We all fall short. We all come up short. But that is an excuse to continue in sin. What is truth? Truth is found in God. Truth is found in God's Word. Truth is what is true, what was true, and what will be true. Truth stands. The rest of it will fall. The rest of it is sinking sand. The rest of it is a colorful, bleeding, messy, liquid drawings. But truth will stand out. Folks, we need to embrace truth in our own lives, because he says one more thing to Pilate that I want to share with you. And he says to him, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. These are the voices you should hear. And the Holy Spirit, you'll be spending some time in here. lots of time in here, especially where the world is today, where our families are today, where our communities are today, the pain that is going through. Folks, why have people come to the conclusion that you need to ask a baby to do what it needs done and that men can have babies? How have we come to a very society and culture that can stand in those kind of untruths? It's because we have sat down on our job and let it happen. We've not stood our watch very well. We've wanted to be nice instead of standing for the truth. We've wanted to be politically correct. Folks, Pilate knew it. Caiaphas knew it. There's no way to be politically correct. You got to be on the wind that is the one with the most mass in the sail. Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" And he just had a conversation with the truth. He just met the truth. He was in the presence of truth. And Jesus says, well, if you knew what truth was, you wouldn't be asking. See, truth is Christ. Truth is God. Truth is the Word of God. It is that on which we must anchor our lives, because the rest of it is shifting sand. Pilate was in the midst of this political environment. He was darned if he did, darned if he wasn't. He was between a rock and a hard place. If he didn't do this, and three times he talks to Jesus, three times he tries to get out of it. Finally says, I want to wash my hands. He couldn't wash his hands from it. There wasn't enough water in Judea to get the blood of Christ off his hands. For the truth would have set them free. But it would have probably cost Pilate a cross, a career, maybe a family. Caiaphas would have cost him his riches, his prestige, his position. It would have cost all of the people who wanted rid of Jesus something to have kept him. Need we think that it won't cost us something to keep him? The truth sets us free. But the truth, I have found, is oftentimes inconvenient. But there's some more truths that we need to hold on to. Jesus said, I am with you always. I will never abandon you. I'll never forsake you. Confess your sins and I'll forgive them. They'll be removed as far as the east is. There is hope in truth. There's purpose in truth. There's an anchor in truth. There is hope that as we live in truth, which is in Christ, in our relationship with God, that whatever we face in life, we've got an anchor that holds. We have a hope that isn't diminished. And we can trust in God and faithfulness in Him. What is truth? Jesus is truth. The Word of God is truth. It isn't what we make it to be. It's what we accept that it is. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Pastor, I've got some special needs. Just would you lift me up this week? Just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Pastor, I struggle with this thing about truth in our society and our culture today. I'm worried. I'm burdened. Would you pray for me that I will stand for truth? If that's you, let me pray for you this week. Pastor, I am worried about the division that I see everywhere around me. Would you pray for me this week that I can help with that? Amen. Pastor, I'm just burdened in my own walk. I've got struggles that I'm facing, truth that is difficult to deal with. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I don't know where I am on this landscape. Sometimes I think I've got it figured out. Sometimes I'm so confused. Would you pray for me that I will know clarity in my call? Slip your hand up. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, may we walk in truth. May we know truth that is you. May we have hope and truth that is in you. May we trust in truth that is in you. Father, I pray for each and every one of us to know your truth. Your truth is eternal. It was true, it is true, and it will be true. It isn't as we make it or as the world tries to twist it. It is the way it is. It hasn't changed. The Bible is not irrelevant. The Word of God is not irrelevant. Father, if it was wrong 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, it's still wrong today. That's truth. If it was right then, it's right now. So, Father, help us to hold on to truth, to share truth in grace through love and in mercy as you have shared it with us. For, Father, we are all sinners in need of a Savior, but we have to come to truth that we can come to you. And when we come to you, you love us, you forgive us, you hear our prayers, our repentance, and you begin to heal us, to bring us back in the way that we should go, into the life that we would live. Father, let our lives be so lived that others would see you and us. And may everything we do be to honor and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go in truth, the truth that God loves us and nothing can change that, the truth that Christ died for us and nothing can take that away, truth that if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that cannot be taken away either, that Christ has promised that where two or three are gathered, He will be with them. That's the truth. And He says, I will go with you even unto the end of the age. Let us hold on to the truth of God's Word and the promises found therein, and may we share those truths in the world around us. And now may grace, peace, and hope go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.